What is the prayer life of the proficient? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe's Society Podcast. The St. Joe's Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, you can check us out online at stjosephsociety.org. All right, gentlemen, this is the Intro to Spiritual Theology, episode 19. Last week, we discussed the nature of the illuminative way. We discussed the two classes of souls at that stage, fervent and devout. And we also talked about a program to be followed, namely developing affect or practicing affective prayer and growing in the moral and theological virtues. So this week, we're going to look at the prayer life of the proficient. Okay, so we're going to look at the nature of affective prayer. What is that? The advantages of affect prayer, the disadvantages of it, and then how we can practically start to make some progress in the prayer life at this level. So. All right. To recall the hallmark of the illuminative way, in the illuminative way, we are becoming imitators of Jesus Christ. Now, if we wanted to break down the human person into intellect, will, and emotions, right? Desires, emotions in the body. If we wanted to separate in those things, in the purgative way, we focus on thinking about God, conforming our thoughts and our minds to Him. Okay. We focus a lot on the feelings and emotions. In the purgative way. So God will give us consolations to motivate us to do things. We're working on practicing penance and mortification, right? Getting rid of sins, things like that. Well, one thing that's a little bit left out is the will. So in the illuminative way, it's more directly addressing the will and getting the will to start conforming itself to Jesus Christ. So as we conform the will to Christ, our will and His will become unified through this process. That's the goal, okay? Affective prayer tries to root prayer in the will more than the intellect and the emotions, okay? Now, I don't want to think that the will is like this thing over here on doing its thing. The will is related to the emotions, the intellect. We're still one person, okay? So I don't want to lose that. But we want to talk about what affective prayer and having will conformed to Christ through prayer, what does that look like, okay? So Adolf Tankery, in his great book, The Spiritual Life, which I quote from often, definitely should be on your guys' library, in your library. Affective prayer is that form of prayer in which the will takes precedent over the intellect, as I said. And this is how Tankery puts it. Affective prayer, devout affections predominate, whereby we express to God our love and our desire of glorifying Him. Okay. Beginners need to acquire convictions. So a beginner, namely the purgative way, we give more attention to reasoning rather than affections because we have to start cultivating convictions. So notice mental prayer, right? Thinking certain things about God, vocal prayer, expressing certain things about God were emphasized during the purgative way because when you're a beginner in the spiritual life, you have to acquire the conviction to do what God wants. We got to figure out what in the world that is. Okay. So the prayer life for the beginner is more verbal, whether it's spoken through vocal prayer or thoughts you think. Now, we don't stop practicing those things in the illuminative way, okay? But as you practice those, what happens is these convictions start getting rooted in your will, okay? And your affections start to grow, okay? So when you think about what God's done for you, when you learn about what God's done for you, which are intellectual things, you'll start to love Him more. Just like when you first started, if you're married, you first started dating your spouse, right? The more you get to know her, the more you start to love her. And then the more your will wants to do good for her. Okay. Same principle here. So in time, our affections start to grow and our prayer life is going to start to transition from being emotional, not just intellectual, but rooted in the will. Okay. So what are some advantages of affective prayer as our prayer life gets rooted in the will? Well, there's four. I have four written down here. First, the principal advantage is a closer and more abiding union with God. You're going to be closer to God because your will is going to be starting to become united to His. Okay, so that's first. Second, affective prayer perfects all the virtues that flow from charity. Okay. So as we start to love God more and we're starting to adorn ourselves with virtues, then affective prayer perfects these. Conformity to God's will, desire to procure the glory of God, desire for frequent communion with him, and a spirit of sacrifice. So all these things are going to increase through affective prayer, okay? Conforming our will to God's, living for God's glory, not our own, wanting to commune with him more often. Remember, that's daily mass. Whether that's maybe going to mass another time throughout the week or a holy hour, or just making a spiritual union with him throughout the day in your own time. And then finally, wanting to sacrifice more for him. These are all going to be stirred up through affective prayer. Because as we grow in our love of him, we'll desire to do his will. Third thing I'd written down, effective prayer increases our consolations and joy. Now, one thing that happens at the end of the purgative way, which I didn't say as much about because there's only so much time in an introduction. But in the purgative way, God gives you consolations, right? The warm and fuzzies to grow in the spiritual life. At the end of the purgative way, he starts to remove those. But because by removing the feelings and the emotions, what it's challenging us to do is to conform our will to his. So as we don't feel his presence, we got to say, well, I don't feel his presence. Am I still going to pursue him? And if the answer is yes, your will is being conformed to his. Okay. As that happens, it's not like that stays like that forever. Because as you make that transition and your will becomes conformed to him, God will then give you deeper and richer consolations. So a good comparison to this, again, for those of you guys who are married, the warm and fuzzies of kind of the puppy love in a relationship, those go away at some point. And at some point, you got to decide, do I just love this woman for who she is? Am I going to will her good, whether I feel like it or not? If you answer yes to that and you keep pursuing her, what a lot of men would realize is that affections for her come back, but they're deeper and richer. That's similar to what I mean here. Okay, so effective prayer, the feeling of God's presence and the joy of his presence will return, but sometimes we have to go through a desert of just conforming our will to his. Okay, affective prayer helps us to do that. Fourth advantage, affective prayer becomes more and more simple as we lessen the number and variety of affections and intensify a certain few of them. Okay. So our prayer life is going to become more simplified because our will is directed towards God, and think of it this way. There's a certain level of focus to the spiritual life. You don't need to do lots of things. Again, to go back to the example of a dating relationship, because I think the parallels are helpful. Early on in a relationship, you might be trying lots of things to commune with your beloved, right? The girl you're going out with or whatever. You might find lots of ways to do that, varied ways. But in time, you start to kind of narrow the focus on what kind of enriches your guys' relationship the most. So you're not bouncing around all over the place, but the few things you do to spend time together and nurture that relationship, you have a stronger devotion to. It's similar to that, okay? So what's going to happen in the spiritual life is you're not going to be bouncing around, skipping around all over the place to different types of devotions. You're going to start narrowing down on a few, and then you're going to deepen those. As our prayer life becomes more simple, this is going to lead to the prayer of simplicity, which we will talk about in the unitive way next month, okay? But our spiritual lives are going to become more simple. So I'll be honest with you guys. My spiritual life's the rule of St. Joseph's Society, and then I have other things that I do on top of that. But it's not real complicated, to be honest with you. Okay. I don't have a lot of complicated devotions. I practice the rule that we all share together in union with all the guys in the St. Joe Society. That's kind of the floor of my spiritual life, the foundation. And then I have some other devotions that I keep in order to stay in touch with God. But my prayer life's pretty simple. That's what you would want at this point. Okay. So simplicity is good. Now, those are some great advantages. What are some disadvantages of this? One, mental strain can lead to fatigue, okay? As you try to increase one's affections, conforming your will to Christ, you can get worn out doing this, okay? Loving someone, whether a person or loving God, takes effort. It can be difficult. That can lead to fatigue, okay? So some of you guys who are practicing spiritual disciplines, say during Lent or Advent, or just throughout the year, we probably had the experience, you just get tired. That's normal. We're limited, but that's a downside to this. A remedy for this, okay, this trying to increase our affections. The remedy is remind yourself that true love of God is in the will, not the feelings. If you have a day or a week or a month or a season where you're just not, there's not much affections there, and you just kind of feel like you're sort of going through the motions, it's important to not just go through the emotions, okay? But sometimes, guys, you just got to, you got to live out your rule. Sometimes you say your daily prayers and there's not much there. And though your intention is to love God and express love of Him, sometimes you don't feel His presence. Remind yourself that by freely and willfully fulfilling your daily prayers, fulfilling your rule of life, that is loving Him. Just like in a romantic relationship, sometimes you don't get the warm and fuzzies with the one you love, but doing what's right by them is an expression of love. So remind yourself, real love's in the will, not the feelings. So if you go through a season with no feelings, don't worry about it. Don't wear yourself out trying to bring them back. They'll come back in time. Just keep loving God and serving Him. Second disadvantage, some people suffer through pride and presumption. Not good. Note, in the illuminative way, you're doing pretty good at this stage. You're growing in virtue. Your prayer life's stable. You're probably, not to undermine the point I'm trying to make here, compared to the average person, you're probably a pretty good guy, okay? If we let the thought creep in that we're the dude, we're the man, we're like, man, I'm better off than the rest of these guys. That's going to lead to pride. That will cut us off from the source of any goodness we have, which is God's grace. Second, we can start becoming presumptuous. We're going to heaven. Yikes. Don't want to do that. I'm a former evangelical Christian. Presumption runs deep in evangelicals. So it's something I'm always trying to be aware of in myself. We don't want to presume we're in a state of grace. We don't want to presume we're going to heaven, that it's a foregone conclusion. Not good either. We can let our guard down and really start to fall, which at the end of this month, I'll have an episode of the counterattacks of the enemy. So you can anticipate those too. Lastly, some people make their entire devotion consist in a quest for affections or spiritual consolations, while they neglect the duties of their life and the practice of ordinary virtues. Don't chase consolations, men. No, it's not a good idea. It's not helpful. Okay. If God gives them to you, beautiful. If He doesn't, that's okay too. Stick to the rule of life. That's why we have one. It keeps you rooted. Don't neglect your duties of life. Make sure you're being the good husband, father, son, brother, friend, coworker, employee that you're supposed to do. Fulfill your duties, okay? And practice those boring, ordinary virtues. A lot of times we get thoughts in our heads that we need to do something heroic for Christ. A lot of heroism, fellas, is just living a decent Christian life and living up to your state in life, okay? We live in a culture that is very difficult to be a Christian in. Just living a decent life takes a lot of effort and stuff. So stay focused on that. Don't lose focus of what God's called you to do. Okay. So those are some disadvantages and hopefully some encouragement. What's the application? I've already mentioned it. Keep the rule of life. Keep it, fellas. It's there. It's good. It's going to keep you rooted. Keep your rule of life. Okay. How can you foster affections in prayer and not fall into those disadvantages I just mentioned? First, exercise the virtue of charity, okay? Try to focus on the beauty, goodness, and loving mercy of God. So think about those things because it'll increase your love of God, okay? So how beautiful He is, how good He is, how merciful He is, how just He is. Those thoughts in the mind will translate down into the will, okay? And then also meditate frequently on the great truths of what God has done for you. The rosary can help with this. Of course, there's other devotions, but the rosaries are really good. Meditate frequently on what God has done for you. It'll help you out greatly. So, all right, we are butting up against the end of our time together. Affective prayer. Hey, practice the rule of life. Stay plugged in. Love God above all things. Desire to do His will. And that will be affective prayer. Don't chase feelings. Don't chase emotions. Remember, love is rooted in the will. So turn your will towards Christ and become an imitator of Him. You guys will be in good shape. So, all right, we will wrap up there. I hope you guys have a blessed week. And I look forward to talking to you guys next week about the moral virtues. God bless.